Welcome to CCNA 1 revision. That's all, no number. And today we're revising things because soon you'll be doing your final exam. Mwahahaha. Now, some general announcements and things. Actually, I've got to go and mute this microphone on the output side because I can hear myself in my headphones and it's quite distressing. I don't like listening to myself at the best of times. ITE final is actually split into two exams, one for chapter 1 to 10 and one for 11 to 16, so be aware of that. So it's actually split into two potentially more manageable bite-sized pieces.
And you've got 1.5 hours for each.
Okay. And are you required to get 70 or 75%? I think it's 75%, isn't it, in both?
Yeah, it's 75% in both. Alrighty. Okay, now, first of all, we're going to do a little bit of revision-y stuff and some talky stuff before we start going through the quizzes, because I hate quizzes. I hate quizzes. But if you guys want quizzes, quizzes is what we're going to have. So has anybody got any question?
Yeah, talking about quizzes, Kerry, in the exam, sometimes you have to pick two out of, say, four. If you get one right and one wrong, do you get half a mark or you get nothing?
It actually tells you on the beginning of every exam page. And in fact, it's very clear in the exam's instruction page exactly how those are scored. So I'm not even going to guess because I may actually get the marks wrong, but the next time you sit an assessment, on the instructions page it will tell you how the multiple answer ones are scored. Essentially, if you get one of the two answers correct, you will get a certain number of marks, depending on how much the multiple choice question, the multiple answer question is worth. If you, however, pick more than two, or pick the wrong ones, you won't get any marks.
Okay, thanks.
And I'm not even going to guess at what marks you get because they keep changing the scoring model, so it really does pay to look on that intro page that comes up rather than me sort of saying you get 2 marks and then we find out you actually get 3.5 marks and then I'm shot at dawn. So, yeah, I'll let you chase that up when you do one of the assessments next time. I think it's 2 marks for a multiple choice, for a multiple answer, but I really couldn't be sure. Okay, now the other thing to keep in mind is you get 2 shots at the final exam. The first one you have to get 75%, and the second time, if you don't get 75%, you need to get 80% to pass. And as one of our students found out, 74.5% is not a pass, so be aware of that as well. They will not round you up. They're pretty wicked about that.
Yeah, we don't have any say in the finals. It's all done online, so yep, you either pass it or you go again.
Okay, does anybody have any questions on anything that we've covered in CCNA 1 before I start pulling up the exams? And all of it does not count as a question. Oh, what did you find out that was important about ADSL, by the way? We'll do that first and then we'll cut to the questions.
Oh, sure, Kerry. I did not know this until today that, and I'm not sure how legal this is either, but internet service providers can do it under extreme circumstances, and that is I'm sitting on a connection at the moment that is actually across 2 separate phone lines, i.e. there's 2 phone numbers in this house, and they both have the same ADSL account on them, and returning with the same IP address and same log on details. I didn't think they could do that, but there you go.
How many of them have got modems on them, though?
Well, this is just it. I would have to bring another modem over here to check, but, you know, I had to swing the modem across. But, yeah, it ramped up on the other line, because we're in the middle of doing a port relocation here anyway. This is at my friend's house. And they said, well, she claimed it wasn't working, so they said, oh, we've set it up on both. And because she's out of the country, it means that I can actually come over here and do these things free of interference, and I hooked it up and it worked. It is actually true, it's working on both lines. Although whether it's working on both lines at once, I don't know. I'd need to bring another modem over here to check.
But does she have a dual line?
Well, it's separate line. It's, they're both coming off the same exchange, and there's a digit different in the number. But yeah, it's a separate account, separate, you know, like a,
yeah, that's a, fine. But you can have two people on one line, like my daughter and the neighbour next to her. They share the same line, but they have different phone numbers and different accounts.
No, that's actually the same pair. And that's not the same thing, because there's actually four wires that come down from the exchange, and one of them will have two and the other one will have two of the wires.
Yeah, this is different. Although, having said that, there could be the same, it could be the same pair of wires coming into the house. I don't know how they've done it.
No, I think what will happen is they've enabled line sync on both of the numbers at the exchange. But I think what you'll find is that if you try and activate both at once, you'll actually get a concurrent log on and it'll lock you out. The ISPs don't allow you to log in twice on the one account. And if you've got the same address, IP address on both lines, you wouldn't be able to use both at once, because how would it discriminate where the traffic was supposed to be sent to?
Yeah, quite right. I'm not going to bother. I mean, so I couldn't really be bothered. The only reason we're doing this is because she complained it wasn't working when she plugged it in one day, but I have a feeling she probably did it when she was rushing and didn't wait for the modem to ramp up, and oh, she was on the phone or doing something silly at the time. So what they did is they tried it on both, and when they got wind of the fact that she wasn't here, asked me to come over here and check it.
Yeah, that's right. It does actually take upwards, depending on your ADSL connection and the modems you're using, it can take up to 3 minutes to obtain line sync. It should only take 30 seconds to a minute, but in extenuating circumstances, it can take significantly longer. And the other thing I've seen a lot of people do, and I'm certainly not accusing this person of doing this, but I have seen a lot of people do this, you get those sort of filter splitter combos, and you connect them up and you don't pay attention to which is which, and you end up putting the ADSL connection into the filtered side, and that usually stops it from working pretty successfully as well.
Not that I would have done that when, you know, putting one of those together and not being very thorough at the time.
I wasn't actually singling you out.
You could use the excuse of saying, oh, I had trouble reading the little thing that says line and modem and whatever the third one says.
And in fact, I've just been informed by one of our local students who we call King of Dodginess. He reckons you can actually buy ones where the labels are actually wrong, and him being his royal dodginess, he would know.
From Hong Kong off eBay or something?
No, apparently it was a bad batch from the computer store that he worked at.
I didn't think Mr. T was over in Perth. I thought he was still with us in Melbourne, the King of Dodginess.
Oh, no, this is the Perth King of Dodginess. That's sort of one of these stately occupations, you see.
Oh, they must have one in every state. Because that'd be the sort of thing he'd try. You'd just plug it in until it worked, I think, if you couldn't see it working on the right port.
Well, that's what Kerry does. He plugs it in, he picks it up and goes, oh, no, there's noise on that one, so that's the ADSL one.
I must admit, I could be accused of doing that once. I went around to set one up for a friend of mine, and they were getting dodgy filtering, and I thought, oh, I'll give up on this, and I just plugged it in until I heard the minimum amount of noise across the voice, and the ADSL went, and said, well, it's about the best I can do for you.
Well, interestingly enough, the reason you need filters on ADSL is not because the voice will interfere with the ADSL per se, it's actually because when you pick up and hang up the phone...
It's because that bloody screeching is awful.
Well, it doesn't bother me.
Yeah, and also as Kerry's about
then
to say,
again, I'm married.
Phone rings. Ooh.
There you go, I was singling you out that time.
I missed that.
Well, you said that bloody screeching's annoying, and I said, yeah, but I get used to it, I'm married.
No dinner for you tonight, Kerry.
I know where the light and easies are, it'll be all right. No, Gemma wouldn't not cook me dinner. I'd look too sad and depressing. Anyway... yeah, a bit like puppy.
Enough domestics, me thinks.
Okay. Now, so does anybody have any questions about CCNA while I'm pulling up the exam, and I'm almost there? All right, let's see how smart you all really are. Somebody name the three types of switching.
Don't all answer at once.
Cut through.
Yeah, we have two of them. Ooh, fragment free. Okay. Now, I was just about to say, can anybody tell me the difference between them? Who wants to explain one of them? Somebody can explain one of them. We want to get all three explained. So, who wants to explain one of them?
Is the cut-through is the cut-through one that doesn't wait for anything? It just sort of switches and just sort of sends packets through without sort of negotiating or waiting for anything?
You're close. Cut-through cuts through after the destination MAC address has been received. Otherwise, it wouldn't know where to cut it through to.
Mm-hmm. Good try, I suppose.
Yeah, no, that's good. We'll give you most of the marks there. But yeah, cut through. Okay, so cut through switching makes a decision on which port the packet is going to be sent to after the destination MAC address has been received by the switch, and then it just directs the packet straight through. Okay, can anybody tell me? I'm tasting that muffin again and again. Can anybody tell me anything about the other two methods of switching?
Well, I can if you want, but thought you were giving other people a go.
There just seems to be this deathly silence. I'm surprised I haven't sort of heard a whole piles of student who's been embarrassed has left the server. So you can tell me about one of the other ones. Pick one and tell me about it, and then we'll tidy up the third one.
Store and forward each they're not packets, they're frames at that level, aren't they? Each frame is received, the whole frame is received before it's forward to the destination port.
Okay. And fragment free, anybody?
That's the one I can't remember.
Oh, we'll let you off this time. Okay, fragment free is the one that takes up to the first 64 bytes of the packet, and then once it has those 64 bytes, it then flicks it across, and that's fragment free. Alrighty. Okay, I'm going to do a couple more spot questions now because I want to see how. Now, well, I'm going to give you some exam hints and tips and techniques and stuff as well, and this is probably worth mentioning. Don't forget that CCNA hasn't changed since last year, so there are last year's lectures if you get sick of hearing this year's lectures over and over again. But I would strongly suggest that you do what Elise does whilst you're doing the washing up or the ironing or whatever you do, and listen to the lectures over again, because I'd say there's a lot of things that people have forgotten in the last little while, especially with CCNA, because it is a lot of raw information that you're trying to assimilate. So definitely, if you can, go through the lectures again before you do the final exam. They are long lectures, I agree, although a lot of the lectures, for example, 6 and 7, like the 6 lecture, the 7 lecture, and the 9 lecture, do cover a lot of information pretty effectively. Oh, plenty of sleep last night. I blame those muffins. And the problem is that we can go over a subset of what is in the course, but even if we do these quizzes, there is no guarantee that I am going to get every question for the final exam. So you have been warned. I am not going to pull the final exam up and go through it all with you. That would be a little bit unfair to the rest of the sighted students, so we're not going to do that. Alright, can anybody tell me the encapsulation order for the data units in the OSI reference model from the top down? So I'll give you the top one from data downwards.
Frames?
No.
Wrong way round, Elise.
Oh, I'm going the wrong way round, aren't I?
Okay, so we've got data. Can anybody tell me the next one? And no, Mr. Legg is not correct, so don't copy what he wrote on there.
Segment.
Yes, so we've got data, segments. Anyone tell me the next one?
Packets.
Yes, the next one?
Maybe, wouldn't be frames then, would it?
That's right, and one more. Anyone, apart from Chris, who's got it right? It rhymes with fits.
Ah, of course.
Bits!
Because it's alphabetical if you go bits. frames, packet segments, data, isn't it? Or almost alphabetical.
Yeah, that's what Graham said.
Yeah, if you leave out the data, yeah.
Yeah, forget about the data.
Okay, now I hate to be a real pain, but that is one of the questions in the final exam. You've got to get it the right way round.
And you've got to be able to do it both ways round too, because they test you both ways to make sure you really know it. And they test you as to whether which layers those things correspond to as well, I think, in both models, the TCP and the OCI, OSI.
They certainly do. And of course, our aim is not to actually petrify you all into thinking that you haven't studied up, although that may be an unintended side effect.
I knew I shouldn't have had that holiday in May. I was doing all right until then.
What was the last one?
Which way?
Going from data, segments, packets, frames.
Bits.
And that's coming down the OSI model, isn't it? Down from 7 down to 6 through 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, etc.
Yes, that is correct.
Alrighty.
Let me think. Does anybody know what are the maximum number of hosts available in a Class C subnet?
254.
Yes, okay, so Attila gets the holiday to Bermuda.
Can I come too, Attila?
Yes, Geraldine.
Thank you.
There we go, we've got shenanigans in the local lecture theatre here. Okay, alright. Can anybody tell me, what is the name given to the automatic assignment of IP addresses by Microsoft operating systems when a DHCP server is unavailable?
Pippa!
That's exactly right, not to be confused with the girl on Home and Away.
Oh, you actually admit to watching that?
I watched it back in 88 and then it went downhill and I stopped watching it.
My sister named our rabbit after Pippa on Home and Away.
But then we can certainly say that it was your rabbit, not your sister, that dug all the holes under the house. Alrighty. Okay. Now, what other sorts of questions can I ask completely out of the blue to petrify you all into gibbering wrecks? Okay. Can anybody tell me the difference between single-mode and multi-mode fibre?
That would have been about Module 3, I think.
It was. I just want one of the key differences between single and multi-mode fibre.
I have a feeling it's, if my memory serves me correct, and I'll stand corrected if it doesn't, to do with duplex or half-duplex type transmission.
No, you'll have to stand corrected.
So single mode only has one call, and dual has two going, one going each way.
No, you'll have to stand corrected too. No, not one-way and two-way transmission. No. Single and multi-mode fiber. Single and multi-mode, not dual mode or tri-mode or bi-mode or cri-mode. Multi-mode. Okay. Can I give you a hint? Let's just say that single...
It's in the question.
Yeah, it is, actually. Part of it is in the question, yes. What's the difference between single mode and multi-mode fiber? But let me tell you that single mode fiber is more expensive than multi-mode fiber. Would that ring any bells as to what the difference might be?
Well, single sends one thing of light and multi-mode sends multiple beams of light.
Yes, but the difference between single-mode fibre and multi-mode fibre is that single-mode fibre uses lasers, whereas multi-mode fibre just uses LEDs.
Okay.
Well, they talked about those pin diodes and stuff. There was that pin diode that detected the light at the end of the fibre, which is obviously the light at the end of the tunnel, so to speak. But single-mode fibre can run longer distances and actually uses lasers rather than just straight light. Can anybody tell me what sort of light goes down fibre optic cable?
Laser.
Yeah, can you be more specific? I'll assume not. What type of light, as in the approximate wavelengths or the type of light? Any ideas, anyone?
It's a bit lower than a bit longer wavelength than infrared, I think. Or it is infrared, actually.
It is. You are correct.
Yes, I was thinking it was a bit longer wavelength than red. No, it's actually infrared. Please don't ask me to tell you what measurement that is in nanometers or anything, because I forgot.
750, I believe. I'd actually have to Google that up, but they don't ask you the actual measure of it in the test, so we don't have to worry about that. They're not going to ask you the maximum distance you can run single mode fiber. They're not going to ask you the maximum distance you can run multi-mode fiber. But they are going to, I think there is a question in there I remember seeing many moons ago about PIN diodes and stuff, so it helps to know the key difference.
Mm-hmm.
Alrighty. Okay, I think we'll start on some of the... Enable has materialised. Before we continue into the quiz questions, has anybody got any questions that they would like me to revise or things they want me to go over before we get onto the quiz questions? Because we haven't asked you guys yet. Any things that people want clarified or gone over or something before we start asking the test quiz questions? All right. Several computers in a... Actually, I better put myself on AutoVox because it makes using the Braille display infinitely easier. How do you do it? You must sort of... Several computers in a company require... And then you press that button. Unix. A technician has located a... I couldn't believe how much of a contortionist Geraldine is. A good price on the internet. Sounds like Chris Legsman on Google again. Yay. For the purchase of these NICs, except they turned up and they were the wrong colour of puce. Before these NICs are to be installed, what are three details that need to be checked? Choose three. And your options are... here we go. The MAC address on the NIC. Do you think you need to check that? I'll take yeses or noes here, guys. Do you need to check the MAC address?
No.
Type in the chat, everyone.
Okay, hang on. It's got old tab.
We've got three noes.
Okay, that's good. So the size of the RAM on the NIC, would that need to be checked? We've got a couple of noes. The bandwidth supported by the NIC, do you think that's worth being checked? How about the type of media? And the type of media support... the architecture of the NIC, as in token ring or Ethernet. And in this particular one, you get 1 point for each correct option, just because Attila was asking. And 0 points if more options are selected than required, so don't go checking them all, boys and girls.
Okay, do you want me to do a second one, Kerry?
Yeah, why not?
Okay, what are three conditions that would require a network administrator to install a new network interface card? Okay, so we'll choose three. Do they need to install a new network interface card whenever the card is damaged? Yes or no? Yeah, that's correct. What about when there is a need to provide a secondary or backup network interface card? Yeah, that was correct. You did what? What about when there's a change from copper media to wireless? Yeah, all correct.
Then we can stop there if you're being grim about it, because they've obviously they've got them all. Yeah, one, two, and three. So the rest have got to be wrong by definition.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's a binary one, which I don't think will put you through the murder of doing. We might post a thing to the list on that one, because that one's a bit, you know, 1-1-0. Yeah, okay. They will be testing that, though, people. So pegboards at the ready, or whatever you do, you are going to be doing binary and hex conversions in the final exam. I can guarantee it. And you need to do a logical AND in one of the questions. It's a logical ANDing of two numbers.
Okay, while Kerry's just scrolling down, I'll ask you one. Which device connects a computer with a telephone line by providing modulation and demodulation of incoming and outgoing data? Is it a network interface card? That's A. B, a CSU DSU. C, a router. D, a modem. or E, a telco switch? Yep, for those that said D, you're correct.
Ah, and there was the question that I just saw there. I was just scrolling past all the binary. Okay, what's another question I can ask? Okay. I was just going to get down to that. I was just going to make one up, actually. Okay. Can anybody tell me the difference between simplex, full duplex, and half duplex? And you can define one of them if you want.
Simplex. Simplex is where one...
Yeah, whoever just typed that into chat. Ah, it was our local donut.
I think it was Enable.
Yeah, no, it was Chris Enable, actually.
Ah, fair enough. I'll have a go at duplex, if you like.
Yep.
A full duplex is where both ends can be transmitting and receiving at the same time.
That is correct. And can anybody else tell me what half duplex is, other than Chris Legg and Elise?
Half duplex is only when one person can transmit at one time, like on a police radio.
Ah, fair enough. Okay, that's I would say that's correct, actually.
Oh. Okay, I'll ask the next one if you like. Which specialised equipment is used to make a physical connection from a PC to a network? Is it A, a router, B, RAM, C, CD-ROM, or D, a network interface card? Well done. Yes, it was D, a network interface card.
Okay. Which phrases describe a byte? Choose two. Okay, we have a single binary digit, plus 5 volts of electricity. There's the range 0 to 127, a grouping of 8 binary digits, and a single addressable data storage location. So which two are those?
I think it was you didn't put the A's and B's next to
them. Yeah, you didn't put the A through D's on them.
But the first one is A and the last one is D. What's the problem, guys?
I can't remember.
Because we're silly.
Oh, here we go. But these are actually checkboxes, so they don't have A, B, C's and D's, so meh.
We're just nice to you and we put them in.
A singleable addressable data storage location was the last one. So bite me. Alrighty.
Okie dokie. I'm going to read this slightly differently. The question actually asks, which of the following are popular web browsers? And we've got to pick two. So I'm just going to say the name of it, and you've got to say yes, no, into chat. Acrobat. That's correct. I don't know how many's out there, but how about everybody trying to chat, type into chat? Okay, yes, no, Internet Explorer. Ah, that's better. We're getting more now. That's good. Okay, Macromedia Flash?
I'm just looking at the chat log here, guys. Has Enable got their chat window open? Because we're not seeing answers from them anymore. Has something happened there?
Their chat window's open.
Any reason why you guys aren't answering?
What was the correct answer for Kerry's question?
Good one.
B and D. Eight binary digits and a single addressable location.
Okay, Netscape Navigator.
Ironically enough, no, because they've discontinued
it. A long time ago.
The answer they want is yes. No, they actually discontinued it as of this year. In fact, it was discontinued as of March this year.
And the next.
Is that because Firefox is so good there's no point?
Yeah.
Sorry, Geraldine.
No, that's okay, Gemma. Just to let you know that the Cisco answer there of that one is Netscape Navigator. Okay, so if you do get something like that, beware. Yeah, unfortunately, it's brand new curriculum, but of course, technology is moving so quickly. Okay, what about QuickTime? Good, good. World Wide Web? Good, and also if you had Mozilla. Firefox, I should have said.
I mean Opera.
Yeah, I'm Kelly's Opera. No, we can't forget Safari.
Interact with HTML content. Don't bother. Stop interacting with HTML content.
I can forget Safari.
And there is Conqueror for KDE. although it's not accessible. Oh, yes, and there's bovine, all right.
Well, there's also lynx.
Yeah, that's that. But I think that's actually using bits of Safari, and they've just cut and pasted the Apple code together. It doesn't actually do its own rendering. They're just using the Gecko engine.
Yeah.
Okay, we'll move on to the next exam. Have we still got a resolution as to why we're not getting answers from Enable? Is there a problem there, guys? Because we really want you guys in on this quiz. Like, I mean, I realise it's going to have to be a consensus answer, but if you guys can try putting answers in too, that would be really good.
Whoever in Enable gets the right answer for the group, you get a free beer.
Although I wouldn't want to drink it by the time it gets there.
As Peter just said, a message in a bottle. And whoever gets it wrong has to shout the bar. Okay, while Kerry's getting into the exam two.
Actually, what I was going to say, I was just going to point this out, actually. I think, and we'll come up with something between now and the end of the... Whoever gets the best mark in the final is going to win a prize.
A free date with Topaz. Okay, you all still out there?
I've just managed to get the icon up.
Hang on, guys.
Okay, can we take... Go on.
I was just going to say, are we having network difficulties over Enable? Is your chat broken or something, guys? Because you guys haven't said anything this morning. Is everything cool over there? Oh, righty. So you were going to say something, Geraldine? I think you were ready with the next one, weren't you?
I was just ready with the next one while you were getting there, that was all. So I might as well, eh? Okay, the central hub has The central hub has malfunctioned in the network. As a result, the entire network is down. Which type of physical network topology has been implemented? Yeah. So wait,
and you should just be able to tell us. You don't need to give them the options. They should know the topologies.
Yeah.
Yes, twinkle, twinkle, little star. Or if the main hub's crashed, no, twinkle, twinkle, little star.
Oh, yes, it has to be a star, baby, to be on my network.
A switch has failed in the network. As a result, only one segment is down. What sort of topology has been... implemented, even. Anyone tell us what topology that was?
Extended star?
Yes!
Cyber lollipop for me!
You would have got 2 points for a correct answer.
Cool.
Now, the next one. What is one advantage of defining...
What about what is the three features that apply to a network connection, or are we just not doing that one?
I missed one. Oh, well, I'll do this one now, you can do that one, all right? What is one advantage of defining network communication by the seven layers of the OSI model? Is it A, it increases the bandwidth of a network? Yes, no. That's correct, it was a no. Does it make networking easier to learn and understand?
No. No, I know the Cisco answers, yes, I'm just being contrary.
Yeah, we have to give the Cisco answer, but I could imagine there's about 20 different answers we could come up with if we try.
And the Cisco answer is yes, so there we are.
Alrighty. Which three features apply to LAN connections? Choose three. So we'll just do yes and no again. Oh, okay, well, we'll operate using serial interfaces? No.
Hold on.
LAN connections?
Okay, I might be getting confused. There was a question that stumped me in the Module 3 or 4 exam, or whichever it was. That was, I think it went something along the lines, what can you use on a network connection, maybe? And I remember answering no to that and getting the question wrong.
Well, I think you'll find that unless you've got a pretty funky 1980s LAN, they won't be using serial connections.
Well, I agree. Which is why I answered the question no.
You said, it's got yes written up here. Oh, the other question you're talking about.
Yeah, the one in the exam when I said things. I'm going to go back and check Ian's answers on that.
Well, I think you'll find that you can run network connections over serial, but they're usually WAN links, not LAN links.
Yeah, that's why I was going to go back and check the wording of the question as well, because you definitely said LAN in this case, i.e. right now, here and today, but I should get some time and go and have a look at the actual question in the three exam.
Yeah, LAN as in stand by your LAN. Yeah, okay.
Up next.
They can make network connections using a hub? Yes,
go back to the question again.
Three features of LAN connections. Okay. Okay, limited to operation over small geographic areas. Okie dokie.
Okie dokie.
Provide part-time connectivity to remote services.
Don't know about a part-time LAN, though.
No.
It's just weird.
No, part-time services infers a dial-up link or a WAN connection. How about typically operate under local administrative control? Okie dokie. Provide lower bandwidth services compared to WANs. Well, if you say no, Lee says no, and that's correct. Okay, the next one is Geraldine's.
I was just thinking that sounds like a cue for a song. He says yes, she says no.
No, we're deciding not to go there on that song.
What makes it easier for different networking vendors to design software and hardware that will interoperate? Is it A, the OSI model, B, proprietary designs, C, IP addressing scheme, or D, standard logical topologies? It was A, the OSI model.
Does that mean we now go, come on, OC, come on, come on?
Yeah.
Yeah, something like that.
Which term describes adding headers to data as it travels through the OSI reference model? A, division. B, decoding. C, separation. D, segmentation. E, encapsulation.
That's good, you all got that, because it's usually a question something similar to that in the final exam. Okay, what is the term used to describe the transport layer protocol data unit? Is it A, bits, B, packets, C, segments, D, frames, or E, data streams? I think just about everybody got that wrong. I don't recall the C coming up, and it was C, segments.
Now D was frames, guys, and frames are a layer 2 construct.
Mm-hmm. I was looking for segments, but anyway.
Have you got Skype open on that horrible thing, Elise? Because your levels just dropped down to nothing.
I moved the mic, but I will just nobble Skype. Hang on.
It doesn't pay to have Skype on your recordings, or your level goes down. Your level goes down. Anyway, I think I'm
round and round, the level goes down.
And you have to knock the level back up in the mixer as well, because Skype will have smashed it.
I'm just going to do what I do on the normal machine, just check to make sure Skype isn't playing with it first.
And in fact, if you are having trouble with your volume levels being nobbled by Skype, you may want to look into a utility called Volume Lock, a small utility that will lock your volumes at the levels you set them. Volume Lock, not sponsored or supported by Cavi. Which of the following are layers of the TCP/IP reference model? And we'll be having yeses or nos for this. Application layer, does it have one? It does. How about a physical layer?
Let's get physical.
Actually, Ian disagrees. He thinks there is a physical layer in the TCP reference model and Cisco got it wrong. But the Cisco answer is no. How about an internet layer?
Did you just say OSI or TCP?
Tukapiipi. There is an internet layer, you know. Let's start from the top, people. TCP/IP model. Which of the following belong to the TCP/IP model? TCP/IP model? TCP/IP model. Okay. Application layer. Does it have one? Still waiting for... Yeah. Yes, it does. Okay. How about a physical layer? Does it have one of those? And we want the Cisco answer. How about an internet layer?
Yes.
And a network access layer. And people are allowed to type Y or N, by the way. You don't actually have to type out the full word if you're feeling keyboard, you know. Yeah, see, I ask myself why very regularly now. How about a presentation layer? Does it have a presentation layer? No, sorry, Attila, it doesn't have one. Me thinking that all of the class should be...
Good on, Mike Boost.
Hey, that's better.
I don't know who went in and turned the bloody thing off, but anyway.
Might have been the... might have been a problem exists between chair and keyboard. What do you think?
No, I don't know.
That's layer 8 of the OSI reference model. It's known as the Bogon layer.
The Bogon layer. Yeah, well, I went and set it up, but don't they ever think these things will ever stick?
Now you're too loud.
I think this is a point where I sort of really get really loud. Now, we like being mega loud. Even if everybody else is soft, it's important for us to be loud.
Yes, sir. Just don't even think if you've turned on your 20 dB mic gain in Windows that it will actually stick. Especially when you haven't looked at it for a long time.
Yeah, sometimes the mixers... Actually, sometimes the mixer settings, to be fair to Elise, which we don't do very often, but to be fair to her, sometimes the mixer settings can actually get corrupted on shutdown. They're not always saved properly when in the registry when the machine shuts down, especially if you have an abnormal crash. So if you, for example, turn on the mic gain and you have like one of those blue screens or something horrible happens, sometimes the settings don't get saved. Or Skype gets to
it. Well, I've turned Skype off anyway, but no, it was purely a Windows problem, this one.
Okay. Now, it's very important that before the final exam, you all go back over your layers and your models, because there are going to be about 6 or 7 questions in the final that deal with the TCP/IP layers and the OSI reference model, and you are going to have to know them. If you're sighted, you basically print a copy of the models and you stick them on the toilet door. It gives you something to do while you're doing things, and you can go and read up and down the model. And then when you finish the course, you can tear the piece of paper up and put it back into the environment. But seriously, you've got to know those models. Yeah, right, use it if you run out of... seriously, you've got to know those models. We've got to know those models.
Radio. Which of the following data link layer encapsulation details? Okay.
Go play yogurt.
That is correct. Okay. So which of the following are data link layer encapsulation details? Just a yes or no. Y or an N will do. A header and a trailer are added.
Oh dear. I think you'll find that all layers of the OSI reference model add headers and trailers. This is important. Each layer adds its own administrative overhead. So yes, headers and trailers are definitely added.
Data is converted into packets. That is correct. Packets are packaged into frames. Well done, all correct. And we've picked the two, so we won't do the rest.
So in other words, frames are not divided into segments. And packets are not changed into bits for internet travel. Which layer of the OSI reference model provides... which layer of the OSI reference model provides network services to the processors in electronic email and file transfer programs? You've got data link, transport, network, application...
Presentation.
Which is ABCD, for those who need the ABCDs. And you can tell Chris is getting bored because he's typing the answers now. And well done to Enable. You have got that one correct. Except we won't send you a new car because the postage is a bit expensive.
We'll send you a cyber beer. We just had one of the local students say rather than a cyber beer that he would volunteer to drink it for you on your behalf.
And in fact, we have a special ventrilo seating so that you can, you know, be with us in the experience. Okay, which two features apply to WAN connections? And we'll just have yeses and nos here. Well, you can scroll down. It's about time I out-scrolled you sometime. Okay. Okay, now which two features provide to apply to WAN connections? Look, I'll let you do the features, Geraldine. There you go. You can do the features. Yeah.
Oh, goody, goody, goody. okay, you can say yes or no, or Y or N. Do they operate using serial interfaces?
Ooh. I think you'll find that the answer is yes, they do.
And the answer is yes, they do.
What are you talking about?
Do they make network connection using a hub? That is correct, they don't. Are they limited to operation over small geographic areas?
Okay, that is correct. Yeah, they're the knights that say, nyeh!
Do they typically operate under local administrative control?
Actually, it's pretty easy to type N-I, Geraldine, to be fair. The I is next to the O. E-I-E-I-O. No, it was actually N-I, as in the knights who say, nyeh!
And the last one, do they provide lower bandwidth services compared to LAN? You are absolutely... Oh, no, somebody's wrong. Whoever said yes is correct.
Yeah, I'm not going to dob that person in. I know who it is. Okie dokie. Which of the... Which are ways of that bandwidth is measured in? Choose three. Okay, GHCPS, KBPS.
Which B?
Yeah, yes. Capital or yes. little or big B.
It could be either because they're both valid.
Yeah.
So ner or something equally as mature.
Oh, nyeh.
Yeah, it's a little b, just for your information, Gemma. Okay. So KBPS, we said that that was a yes. What about MBPS?
Hang on, did you say N or M?
M for donuts.
Cool. Sorry.
How about NBPS? Okay, how about MHZPS? GBPS? You all sound very positive. Yes, it is. Oh, look at this. Look, the next one, we're actually not going to do it because, like, we already did it. Oh, you want to do it, do you? Okay, all right. You've got to choose the correct order of encapsulation. So.
And we've got... segments, bits, packets, data, frames. Who wants to have a go?
Is it data, segments, packets, frame, bits?
Yes, it is.
Yay, Attila!
Do I get a cyber pop, cyber lollipop?
Lollipop, lollipop, oh, lolly, lollipop, pop. Do, 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 do. My boy, lollipop.
Thank you.
Anyway.
He makes my heart go giddy up.
Now, just a warning on this one, actually. Not the song, because, I mean, yes. That was Chris. Right. Now, be warned. On that question, it actually says they're actually numbered. So you've actually got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and you've actually got to get the numbers right. So one of the correct answers is like 1, 4, 3, 2, 5. So just watch out for that. I'm just scrolling down.
Scrolling, scrolling, scrolling. Kerry is scrolling. His fingers are a scrolling on Braille.
Ah, it says refer to the
exhibit. That's a pretty good one.
And you're supposed to figure out which way the OSI reference model goes. So who can tell me which way it goes from the top down?
Application. Presentation. Session, transport, network, data link, and physical.
We wanted it from the application layer down. And I think you were fairly close on there, Elise. Can anybody else tell me? from the application layer down.
Location, presentation, session, transport, data, network, physical.
Network, data, physical, isn't it?
That's right. All people seem to need data processing.
That's one acronym.
Please do not throw sausage pizza away.
Okay, look the other way.
All people seem to need donuts, please.
All people seem to need disc piracy.
We cannot condone that behaviour, Elise.
Oh, I didn't say about condoning it. No, we can't condone that behaviour.
Okay, which layer of the OSI model provides connectivity and path selection between two end systems where routing occurs? Is it A, the physical layer, B, the data link layer, C, the network layer, or D, the transport layer? For those that chose option C, the network layer, you were correct.
Which best describes the function of the physical layer? Defines the electrical and physical specification between the links to end systems.
Oh, this is a yes or no or A, B, or C job.
Well, it's actually a radio button, but if you'd all said yes on the first one, I could just not read you the rest of them.
Well, that's right.
Okay, that is the end of that exam. Now, just a general question. Does anybody have a better idea as to how we could do this? Because, we can do some more tests and stuff. Does anybody have better ideas of the way we could get you guys to revise this thing? Or do we actually sort of have to travel around with a virtual big stick and, you know, wave it at you and go, this is a big stick, study your CCNA? Has anybody got a better...
And that was module 2, by the way, so you all need... Well, not everybody, but a lot of you need a bit of revision there, I think. What do you reckon, Kerry?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, Gemma's already done the test, so we'll let her off. How did you go on your final, Gemma?
I'll be the first one to admit I've got to do some more study because it's, you know, what, nearly 6 months ago since we did that, so... but I've been concentrating more on IT at the moment, but yes, I think it's back to washing dishes and putting it on the stereo and going sick with listening to lectures, I think, as well as, you know, getting out the notes and reading them as well.
Well, as long as you don't get sick from listening to them. But in all seriousness, I think you will find that ITE is going to be, and I could be wrong here, but given your background, at least, and a lot of people's background, ITE is probably going to be a lot simpler than CCNA, in all seriousness, because a lot of people have sort of bashed on the keyboards and stuff a lot more. And I was looking at the ITE final exam today, and it's... Well, I wouldn't say it's really, really easy, but I wouldn't say it's that complicated either, so don't panic as much as you would for CCNA.
I
think IT is a lot more attractive for people to do, so people tend to focus on it because it's a lot more appealing. And then you sort of look at CCNA and then realise that requires a lot of work and that's going to be a fair bit of catching up to do.
Absolutely.
It's one of those catch-22s. I mean, so I have been using the argument that, well, I might as well get a good mark in one rather than half a mark in both. However, having said that, I can certainly see your point of view, especially, as you say, with people in my situation who have had hands-on with ITE and IT1-like things for a long time. And what Gemma just said. So, look, let's see how we go. I'll be doing both over the weekend, so we'll see what happens.
Let's take another thing into consideration, guys, and this is just a point. Whilst ITE is very important and it's certainly more interesting, do you think that people are going to most likely let blind people in a workplace get a screwdriver and open up a PC or remotely configure a router? And that's something worth considering as well. I know that there are personal reasons for doing one or the other, but generally speaking, they're much more likely to let you at a serial console or remote configure a router. People tend to get a bit unhappy when you pick up a screwdriver unless you've proved your accessibility and your ability in the technical field. And I know we all find CCNA dead boring and stuff, and it's really tedious, and it's so boring compared to ITE because we only learn about, we only learn about networks and networks and networks and networks. Although networks are an extremely complex area of computing, and unfortunately they are vitally important. Without the networks, you're not going to dump print jobs to that laser printer down the hall. And one of the reasons why Gemma did CCNA was so that she could learn to help fix our network. I think I'd be right in saying that. And she had to do it for uni, but it was also one of the big reasons why she did CCNA.
Yeah, you certainly make an interesting point. A lot of people don't see that vision impaired people are just as competent with a screwdriver in a lot of respects as what they are, you know, sighted counterparts. But having said that, you got a good point there. I'm looking at going into teaching, so I think it might be easier to teach IT than it would be to teach CCNA, but that's only my little show.
Yeah, look, it is a tricky one. And it's... I think if you understand how the networks work and you understand how everything links together, one of the problems with CCNA is that it's boring but essential. It really is. It's information that's not particularly exciting, but it is the keystone to a lot of computing things. And if you can understand how to troubleshoot networks and stuff, you become very popular indeed. And you get paid lots too, so that's sort of certainly something that's worth considering. Depending on what sort of jobs you're going after. All right. So has anybody go on, Elise.
No, I was just agreeing with you. I thought that you do make some interesting points there.
We try. So has anybody got any better way that we could do this? Like, is there a different format of revision that anybody would prefer, or does everybody like these quizzy things? Is anybody sort of looking at it at this point and going, oh gee, golly gosh, I'm overwhelmed by the amount of stuff in that module and I really don't know where to start, arg?
I guess for me, I'm using the quizzes both in ITE and CCNA to go, like I've been thinking about the ITE one we did on Wednesday. Right, okay, if I was to sit the final exam tonight, which I know I'm not going to do, but if I were to, what would I want to go off and study up on? And, you know, I've got a couple of areas there that when, you know, as I said, the weekend's going to be my time to do this. I'll be aiming for those particular things I might have mentioned on Wednesday. Same thing for this. I'll probably be going over the OSI reference model. I certainly wouldn't have minded a few questions today on Module 6, but maybe they'll come next week or the week after, so that's cool. I think for me personally, I've just fallen out of the way a bit of it since May, and I've had other things on my mind which I won't go into here. But up until May, I considered I was doing rather well with CCNA.
Look, I think it certainly goes without saying that people are going to have other things going on, other things that are going to distract them from their studies. The only thing that I can warn you about in that particular respect, and this goes out to everybody. If you are studying CCNA, and obviously most of the people on here are, don't leave it too long because it's going to come back and bite you. Leaving it for a few weeks doesn't make CCNA easier. It is a good idea to chip away at it wherever possible and knock it out of the way. But I realise that's not always possible, so, you know. There will be some ones on Module 6 and stuff next week. We'll be going through the Module 6 quiz and we'll be asking questions then. The other thing I would strongly suggest people do, and a lot of you are sort of saying, well, I don't, you know, probably thinking, I don't want to read all of that material again, I've already read it. Well, I can understand that.
Read it again.
Read it again. But if you
really that's what I'm going to do.
Read the chapter summaries at the bare minimum. And if you see something in the chapter summary and you go, oh, I don't really remember that, go back and read the section.
One thing I've often found, and I was doing this before my May holiday, let's say, I was doing rather well, is that I remember I took that bus trip and I was listening to the, I think on that trip you would have been at the time up to module 6 or 7 or even 8. And I was listening to the way we're all reacting, behaving and learning back in, say, Module 3. And, you know, you'd hear a question come up like, you know, what's the such and such layer of the OSI reference model? And I just go off the top of my head, oh, yes, it's such, the answer's, answers network or something, you know, there I talk about layer three, and I can hear myself come back on those earlier lectures going, getting questions wrong. So it's a good thing to actually hear what you were doing if you get those old lectures out from earlier on, and you can actually gauge that you actually do learn things. It's just a good chance. And the other thing I've found with doing that is that you hear these terms that may have gone over your head at that time, and then you hear them again. Oh, yeah, I remember hearing that talked about several times.
Yeah,
that sort of just helps click into place.
Yeah, and the whole idea of us going through quizzes for both of them is exactly what you say, Elise, is to sort of help you find the areas that you think, oh, well, I knew all those, or, oh, hang on, I got them wrong, you know, so you know which areas to go back and have a look at. Because don't forget, everybody, that the CCNA exams finals and the IT exam finals, there's nothing that you haven't covered in your notes, in the course curriculum. It's all been covered. Just look out for different wording and different ways of phrasing questions.
And in fact, you could, and we don't recommend this, of course, you could actually do the whole course by not listening to a single one of my lectures. No, Chris, come back. Don't run out the door. But seriously, you can actually get by it purely by reading the notes. It is, however, nice to have the lectures to explain things to you rather than you just reading through all the dry notes.
And if you don't listen to us, we don't have a job, and then we don't eat, and then we die.
Oh, so we're going to listen to Geraldine, including the Good Morning song.
Yes, good morning, good morning.
Every time you come out, Geraldine dies a little.
Okay, how long have we got?
What was I going to point out? It's gone there. Bloody Good Morning song.
Well, I thought you liked it.
Oh, I do, dear. Don't you worry about that. We would miss it.
And you don't want Geraldine to die, do you?
No, we don't. We couldn't handle that. I had that on my conscience.
Okay. Now, do we let you think about what you were going to say, or do we just go, oh, well, that's that then?
I think you might have to go, that's that then.
Well, that's that then. We'll go on to the next quiz.
Okay, do you want to do this one? What are the two advantages of using UTP cabling in a network installation?
Oh, can I? You beauty. Okay, what are two advantages of using UTP cable in a networking environment? Okay, I'll go yes, no, all right? It's stiffer than STP. That's correct. It's less expensive than fibre. Ah, well done. It's easier to install than coaxial cable. Excellent, you got the two.
Alrighty. What is the difference between a wireless NIC and an Ethernet NIC? And the options are the Ethernet NIC operates at 100 megabits and the wireless NIC operates at 10 megabits. That's correct. The Ethernet card uses a PCI expansion slot and the wireless network card can't use one of those. The wireless network card uses CSMA CA, whereas the Ethernet card uses token passing. No, that's not true. Ethernet cards do not use token passing. Token ring cards use token passing. The wireless Ethernet card can associate to an access point, whereas an Ethernet card connects to a hub or switch. Okay, then we're all happy, I think.
I am happy, oh so happy. Which
wireless?
Which wireless standard operates in the 5 gigahertz transmission range and is capable of 54 megabits per second of data throughput? Is it A, 802.11? Is it B, 802.11A? Is it C, 802.11B, or is it D, 802.11G?
All over the place, like a mad admin's cabling project.
It was D. The 802.11A. 802.11A. That was 802.11a.
It's interesting with the other ones because they've come down to the 2.4 gigahertz band.
The reason they've come down to the 2.4 gigahertz band is because it's actually an open spectrum, and the transceivers and stuff are cheaper to manufacture than the 5 gigahertz stuff. Although, you can actually get 5.8 gigahertz cordless phones. In fact, some of the Panasonics are, and we've got those.
Yep.
Alrighty. A company is converting a cabled Ethernet LAN to a wireless LAN. What must be changed on each host in the network? No changes are required. Each host will require a new IP address. Each host will require an appropriate NIC or adapter. And each host will require that the operating system be upgraded. So that's A, B, C, and D for those who are letter impaired there. In fact, I was just thinking about this the other day, and I was thinking that if ever you guys ever go on Who Wants to Be a Millionaire, all of those multi-choice questions are going to be really, really useful. I mean, the advantage of Who Wants to Be a Millionaire, you get to phone a friend or go 50-50, but it's good practice for going on the pre-show. So.
Yeah, now when are you going to introduce that to Cavi?
Who wants to be a millionaire? I do.
Like, you know, phoning a friend and you know, eliminating two or whatever the other one is.
I don't want you to phone a friend. In other words, ask the audience. Yeah, there'll just be this, why are you calling me again, Elise? I'm not answering it.
No, Elise would phone you, Kerry.
and you're already there, so that's phoning.
Kerry's Eddie McGuire.
Kerry everywhere.
Okie dokie. Now, the next question you need to choose too. What factors should be considered when you're selecting the appropriate cable for connecting a PC to a network? Give me yes or no, please. A, the first one, type of system bus, yes or no? That's correct. System board model. Yep, that's correct. The distance of the cable run. All little smarties today, that's good. Speed of transmission. Okay, that's great. Everybody got those. Good.
So this has now shown us, this is interesting stuff here. People are pretty cool with all the really simple stuff, but when it comes to the complex stuff, the wheels are falling off the wagon.
Comment.
Yes?
And it's what I was trying to remember before too. Is Discovery the next version of this? I think I heard somebody saying there was more hands-on on that.
Yeah, you actually get to sit down and configure Linksys WRT300N routers to connect to the internet, and you hook Xboxes to them. And no, we don't provide the Xboxes and the routers.
So, okay, is there anything else? Because I'm sort of thinking, and I've said this before too, you'll probably remember me saying it, for the more kinesthetic people like myself, that will work rather well. But as I said, where are we going to get a Linksys and an Xbox from?
Well, there will be remote labs that you can access a certain percentage of, and we've still got to build the labs for Discovery. We call the remote bundles, and I'll be talking about what a remote bundle is after we finish CCNA1. But basically, it's a bundle that you can telnet into and practice all of your configuration abilities.
Cool.
We went to PBX.
Well, I can do without the Xbox, but I wouldn't mind configuring a router to connect to something anyway.
Well, that's true. Although the WRT300Ns are fairly similar to sort of some of the little ADSL things you've got there. So, but that is one of the biggest criticisms of CCNA1. There aren't too many hands-on labs in CCNA1. And whilst that is a problem, and they are putting some more into Discovery, it also goes to say that you should actually know what you're doing before you actually start messing with things. I realize a lot of people learn by doing, but you can also break by doing. So it's important to know some stuff before you actually get and start messing with things.
I learn by breaking.
Well, that's why you do it in a lab situation. Give the people the opportunity to break it, so when they get employed, they don't take the opportunity to break it then.
Okay, which Ethernet standard requires the signal to be boosted for a maximum distance of 100 meters? We have 10 base 2, 10 base 5, 100 base T, 100 base FX, and 1000 base CX. And we want C, 100 base T.
Okay. When is a straight through cable used in a network? Is it A, when configuring a router? B, when connecting a host to a host? C, when connecting a switch to a router? Or D, when connecting one switch to another switch?
You're all wrong.
Can I just have a C and D again?
I'll just give those options. I'll just get those options again for you. When is a straight through cable used in a network? A, when configuring a router. B, when connecting a host to a host. C, when connecting a switch to a router. Or D, when connecting one switch to another switch.
Ah, yes, no, we will take C for that one. Although, ironically enough...
I'm still saying C.
Yeah, you said it was wrong, didn't you?
I did say it was wrong, and I'm correcting myself and saying Geraldine is 100% correct, although in 2008, you do connect most switches together with straight through cables.
Yeah, this is the classical Cisco answers.
Yeah, that's right. This one is getting crusty.
Okay,
the correct answer is C. When you connect a switch to a router, you need a straight through cable.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's right. I'm saying, and what I'm also saying is, in 2008, you also use straight through cables to connect switches together too, but that's not the answer I want.
Oh, I see. Right, Cisco's got a different answer.
Well, back in the old days before auto isolation, you actually had to have the right cables cross over and straight through to connect different things together. In 2008, most networking gear doesn't care less, and in fact most PC network cards in desktops and things will switch the pairs over whether you use straight through or cross over. It doesn't really matter. But the question is in the exam, and the answer is C. When you connect a router to a switch, you use a straight through.
Yep. Sort of like connecting different devices in general, and use a straight through.
Yeah, if you're connecting the same sort of device, you need to use a crossover. So a PC or a PC.
Yeah, I remember saying that back in Chapter 5 or 6 or something.
Okay, what type of cable is used to make a connection between an Ethernet host and a LAN switch? Console, rollover, crossover, straight through. Okay, we are choosing three of the following, so we want yes and no. Which of the following are used for communication signals? Light patterns, electrical voltages, controlled air pulses, mixed media impulses, magnetized fluid wave, modulated electromagnetic waves. Yeah, that's it's techno babble, Elise. I'm having problems with the magnetic field wave.
Yeah, I've just changed the polarity of the neutron flow.
I think it was actually Doctor Who. They're always reversing the polarity, and in Star Trek, they're remodulating the shield harmonics. And that can
fix anything. You're so right. And it was a particular Doctor in Doctor who reversed the polarity, and that was John Pertwee.
You win the useless knowledge cyber lollipop there.
The bottomless pit of mindless trivia.
We put you on that, Trivial Pursuit? Okay.
Okay. The scary thing is I'd probably bloody win it too.
Oh, that's not so bad. You could be on my team. What does UTP cable rely on to reduce signal degradation even, caused by EMI and RFI? Is it A, shielding, B, magnetism, C, cancellation, D, insulation, E, properly grounded connections,
or RJ45 connectors?
And the answer is C.
What was C again?
Cancellation.
Cancellation.
Yes, which is what we'll do to your certificate. No, just kidding.
Oh, poor Chris.
Oh no, we've been cancellated.
He's just going through a phase.
Oh.
Okay, select the characteristics of 10 base T. Choose 3. So we'll go for yeses and noes again. Twisted pair cable?
10 base T, yeah.
Yeah. T-style connectors. Baseband transmission. 10 gigabits per second data rate. 10 megabits per second data rate. How about decimal encoded data transmission?
My summing up of everybody's sense is this lesson's been pretty good. You've been doing pretty well on this module. Okay, which
module is it?
It's 3.
Three, is it? Yeah.
Yep.
Well, that's good, because I just know which ones I want to get.
Which ones to look at.
Which ones to look at. Yeah.
Which cable connectors are used to connect a cable from a router's console port to a PC? If you can just do yes or no, because we need 2 here. RJ11. That's pretty universal. Everybody agrees it, and that's correct. It isn't. RJ12. Ah, I can't trick you. RJ45. DB8. DB9.
That is, and I think that's probably enough for today.
I knew you said why just then.
Okay. What I'd really like, and I'm just dreaming here, in fact, whatever I'm on, it's pretty good, but I'd like you all to have a revise of your notes between now and next week, and I'd like some people to come with questions next week, so that we're not just going, Module 6, Question 5, how many shabba-wangers does it take to change a light bulb? So if you guys can, if we can have some discussion, that would be good. And otherwise we will go through a couple of quizzes and see what else you don't know.
And you've got to take pity on Kerry, because he'll be doing it on his own next week. Everybody, aww.
And it'll be slow.
No singing.
I will be away next week. So, or the next 2 weeks even. The next 4 weeks even, because you've got holidays after that. And there won't be any singing. No singing.
So when do you actually? Yes, when do you actually go? Do you go on Monday? Should I hand up those worksheets before you go? What's the deal?
I'm going to get 50,000 worksheets before Monday.
Anyway, let's get Geraldine.
Well, you can send them to me, and I will mark as many as I can before I go into hospital. So.
Fair enough. I really should have been doing them last night, but I was too busy playing with the Orca and the Linux.
Fair enough.
It's one of those classic things, take 3 hours to find the problem and 2 minutes to fix it.
I just asked whether Gemma's been on my Linux box. No, that's not true. She's very good at Linux. You still awake there, Gemma?
Yeah, I'm still here.
Ah, that's good. Well, we're just about to finish. So, there you go.
I've been here the whole time.
Yeah, I know, you've been answering.
I know, you're good in the background there.
Actually, everybody's done very well on answering the questions today. That was good. Great to have everybody on board there.
Well,
thank you. Oh, this is the official end, isn't it? So thank you once again for all your brilliant presentations, Kerry and Geraldine.